Philadelphia International Airport's on-time departure rate leaves room for improvement when the weather is ideal. When Mother Nature flexes, delays and cancellations can do in the travel plans of thousands of passengers. Let's get lost in Terminal C with Bob Mann, airline industry consultant and owner of RW Mann and Company. Bob, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
My pleasure, Dave.
Bob, here's my question. Airlines do a pretty good job of meeting their goal of filling planes to capacity. Now, how can they accommodate those who've been bumped due to bad weather?
Well, with the exception of maybe Boston-Phoenix, it'll be easier in January than it would be in, say, July or August.
Explain.
Well, in the peak summer period, there are probably 90% load factors, one seat out of 10 available. If a flight is canceled, it'll take 9 additional flights to accommodate those customers who were inconvenienced. In the winter, January, for example, load factors probably run closer to 70%, which still creates a challenge, but on the other hand, it's much more manageable for the airlines involved.
Is it also a matter of having the appropriate staffing in place to deal with the influx?
Well, the issue with winter storms is perhaps a little unique. Summer storms are typically thunderstorms. Customers are already at the airports. Employees are already at the airports. In the winter, the issue may be getting to the airport, whether it be an airline's own employees or whether it be a customer. And airlines, of course, don't want to place either their customers or their employees in a dangerous situation. So keeping them at home may be the best outcome for everyone, and that's why airlines tend to pre-cancel during these intense winter storms.
You alluded to specifically New England and Phoenix. I think you're thinking Super Bowl.
I am thinking Super Bowl, yes.
And so what is the likelihood of whether those passengers will be accommodated in time to see the big game?
My guess is, given the significance of that event and given the carrier's high-intensity focus in Phoenix, there'll be extra sections mustered to carry those customers to Phoenix and back.
How do these storms impact the bottom lines of airlines and airports?
Well, of course, airports make money when airplanes land and when passengers in-plane or deplane. So when those things stop, an airport's revenue stream stops. As far as an airline is concerned, the significance of the financial impact may depend dramatically on the circumstances. When an airline is able to pre-cancel flights, as many did in this case, up and down the East Coast, many of their costs are on a short-term basis are stopped. Both union contracts and other aspects essentially allow a fair degree of avoided cost. What happened in the restructuring of the industry during the 2000s decade is many of the contracts which previously had what was called scheduled cancellation coverage, which in effect paid employees whether or not airlines flew, these were actually removed such that many employees are no longer paid except when the airline operates. So in that case, when a flight is pre-canceled, many of the labor costs attached to those flights simply disappear or are avoided, and of course the fuel isn't burned as well.
Bob, let me ask you a perhaps related a question, and it pertains to the plummeting price of gasoline. Is it correct to presume that airline fuel is also dropping compared to, say, a year ago?
If an airline is completely unhedged, which is to say they haven't taken contracts for delivery of their fuel at a specific price, they have seen cost reductions on jet fuel of as much as 55% compared to the period in the prior year. Not all carriers, however, took the option to go bare, as it were, without hedging. But some did, and those savings for those carriers generally go right to the bottom line.
Safe to say they don't go on to the customer in the form of cheaper ticket prices?
They haven't so far. There's some indication that internationally, where fuel surcharges are sometimes present, some carriers have backed down to some degree on those fuel surcharges. Again, it depends on to what degree they're hedged. If carriers had contracts for delivery at $3 a gallon, they're still paying $3, even though on the spot market, one might be paying $1.60 right now.
Mm. Thanks, Bob.
You're quite welcome.
Bob Mann is an airline industry consultant and owner of RW Mann & Company.